Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
We are joined this segment by the District Attorney of Erie County, Mike Kane. D.A. Kane, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Joel. Thanks for having me.
Before we get to the things that we were going to discuss, we had the comptroller on, and I know this was something that your office got moved out quickly because of conflict of interest. I just want to know, do you have any comments on any of the language around the Granville case we heard this morning?
You know, Joe, I didn't listen to the segment, and I'm as you know, I have a conflict, and I asked for a special prosecutor to be appointed. So I really do not have any comment on that.
I didn't think so. I just thought I would follow up. We talked earlier in the week with the Erie County Clerk, Mickey Kearns, and we're talking about this office space that the county is trying to move the clerk out of to put the Buffalo News in. You know, this is a part of the building that you're also involved in. What's your thoughts on how this has been handled and the Buffalo News being in that part of the building?
So, Joel, my understanding, which is recent, actually, I came to understand that that this has taken place. And according to the county clerk, the space they're talking about is adjacent to space that the county clerk has been allowing me to use for some of my employees. You know, we, just to give you a little history here, when we were moved into this space here at 25 Delaware, it was 2004, 21 years ago. And at that time, the Erie County District Attorney's Office had 178 employees. Well, now we have 227 employees. So we have 49 new employees, and we have the same exact workspace. So we have been sitting on top of each other now for years, and I've been trying to get more space for my attorneys and my support staff for many years. In fact, you know, we have essentially cannibalized the office space that we have. We've taken conference rooms, we've taken closets, we've doubled up lawyers. You know, for the 100 lawyers that handle the cases in my office, I have 2 conference rooms. So, you know, we're on top of each other, and I've been trying to get space now for a couple of years. I'm really confined by, you know, I've got to be in the same building where the courthouses are. I've also got to be very close to the Erie County Holding Center. So we're right across the street from the Holding Center, and we're in the same building as most of the criminal courts. So that's where we're stuck, but we need more space. So it's, you know, it's a point of frustration for me that we haven't been able to accomplish that.
And now, so you're not against the Buffalo News having office space. It's just you're already running out of space. It would be nice if your office could have that space.
Well, but in addition to that, I mean, I don't know if you know this, but the Buffalo News has had some space in that building, 92 Franklin, for years. And, you know, I don't know the circumstances behind those agreements. And you know, that's I don't have any problem with that, quite frankly. But I need additional space. And the space that apparently they're going to be utilizing now is adjacent to the space that the county clerk has offered for us. So, you know, we're going to have training in those in that space, and I need to make sure that that's secure. I'm told that it's you know, that the walls are paper thin, and I much as I love talking to the media, I really don't want the Buffalo News in the middle of my meetings and trainings with my lawyers.
No, I think that's completely understandable. Now, what is the reasoning for the necessity of more space? Is the office growing? Maybe shed some light on that.
Sure. Thanks for asking. Because you know, there's been a lot of conversation over the last few years in the criminal justice system in New York has been, you know, a lot of changes, and one of those changes is changes to the discovery laws. So, when the state legislature did that, they also, at the direction of the governor, they provided us additional resources to be able to deal with the discovery challenges. So the additional resources, bottom line, is they've given us a lot more money to hire more people. And we've gone from literally 178 to 227 employees, basically almost 30% increase. And even though we've been able to, you know, deal with the discovery challenges more efficiently, we have not been given more space. And we need, you know, like I can't have lawyers meeting in the public with witnesses and having conversations with victims. And so I, you know, it's come to the point where we've had a number of conversations with the county executive's team, as well as Mickey Kearns with the county clerk's office. And Mickey's been, very good to me, quite frankly, in letting me utilize some of his space. And, you know, I also am aware that the courts are, you know, sort of full. They need space as well. And I've been talking to the leadership at the Office of Court Administration. And, you know, so we're all kind of, in a position where we need more space. And I know that, you know, the county clerk has some space available. I've had conversations with him over the last year about, you know, trying to utilize some of his space in a more permanent basis. But, you know, we haven't finalized those conversations or agreements. But you know, this is definitely come to a head for me. And I'm looking forward to, you know, getting this resolved for the people that work in this office.
You know, the Buffalo News could go to the Main Place Mall. There's a ton of space there, and then they could just walk down and do their work.
Yeah, well, I'm that might be an option for them, but I'm not in the business of telling the Buffalo News.
I understand, and we'll have more with the clerk on Bowerly's show. He'll be joining Bowerly to give an update on this. Mr. DA, why we have you, or Mike, why we have you? I don't know why I said Mr. DA. That sounded like a PBS special. Why we have you? You know, bail reform has been coming up in the mayoral election, and it's something that came up. Your opponent in the DA's race is now running for mayor of Buffalo. From your position of DA, and you've been in the office since before you were the DA, bail reform, how has that contributed to either crime or to just headaches in the justice system?
So, as you may know, the bail laws were changed beginning in January 2020. They were changed again in April of that year, and then again in May of 2022 and in May of 2023. And so there have been a number of tweaks to the bail statute that governs the criminal justice system in New York State. You know, I think, quite frankly, there is a lot of misinformation out there, and some of it is probably being done intentionally. But the bottom line is the bail statutes have been changed. In New York, we are, we are confined to make arguments that that the court can consider only whether or not a person is going to return to court. Okay. Now there are a number of us, including me, that DAs that would like to see an additional standard added to the bail statute that a person, if a person is a danger to the community or to another person, that is a basis for setting bail. But Joe, I can tell you that a lot of judges wouldn't make a difference to them. So, you know, there have been some situations here, and I'm not going to talk about specific cases, where people have argued that that's a bail reform problem, and it's just not the case. It's misleading. If we can go to court and argue before a judge that a defendant should be remanded, and we do that, and a judge does not remand that person. That's the judge's decision. That's always been the case in New York. The judges get to make those decisions on bail. Sometimes they don't want to, you know, follow our recommendations in the district attorney's office. And if they don't, and someone else and someone that they've released on bail goes out and commits a crime, that's not bail reform. That, and I think that's one of the things that's been misleading in some of the public discourse about this subject.
So from your point of view, or your opinion, is that since the bail reform, there's not more people leaving than before?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, obviously, obviously there are more people that are getting released because, you know, the judges are not allowed to set bail. We're not allowed to ask for bail. But just for example, I'll put it to you this way. I think the thing that the public is most concerned about and that I'm most concerned about is that when it comes to the bail argument is that violent criminals are allowed to be held on bail or remanded, meaning that there's no bail. And that is the case right now in New York State. We can ask for bail or ask for remand on every single violent felon charge in the state, with one exception that comes up very, very infrequently. But other than that, there's almost 200 violent felony or violent, you know, crimes in New York, we can ask for bail on those. So that's the one thing. I think the bail statute does address that concern that the public has, that violent criminals can be held on bail or remanded. The second thing that I think people are frustrated about is the recidivism. Okay. In other words, you know, some 17-year-old kid goes and steals a car and then he goes out and does it again next week and then he does it the week after that. Now, the bail statute does not allow for us to ask for remand on those cases because those are not qualifying offenses. And if someone goes out and steals a car and then steals a second one and a third one, I should be able to ask the judge to remand that person. Now, I am able to do that under this harm analysis, and I know this is a little convoluted. I am able to do that, but I do think that issue could be better addressed by some changes to the bail statute, and I would certainly support that. I would also support a change to the bail statute that would allow a judge on the first instance, regardless of whether they're going to return to court, to decide that person is a danger to the community and therefore should be held on bail. Now, most of the times that issue comes up, that defendant is charged with a violent criminal offense. So the vast majority of times we are allowed to ask a judge to remand someone. And at the end of the day, if the judge doesn't do it, that's the judge's decision. And that should not be confused with a problem with the bail statute.
But does the judge have more control over that now than before the bail reform? Like before 2020, would there be a clear cut and dry, if you did this, you have to be placed under some type of, you can't be placed on cashless bail?
Before 2020, the judges had complete discretion. okay? And they exercised it. Now they have less discretion on what we call they cannot set bail on non-qualifying offenses. The vast majority of those non-qualifying offenses are not violent crimes. So the judges have less discretion now. They can still set bail or remand anybody, except, like I said, with one exception, that's charged with a violent felony offense.
I know you said you didn't want to talk about specifics, so I'm just going to ask a name. So if even before the bail reform laws that they say are set today, even before 2020, Ricky Crouch would have been out.
No.
In 2019. Well,
that's up to the judge. That was up to the judge in 2019. It would have been up to the judge in 2010, and it was up to the judge in 2025. We asked for remand. We had every right to ask for remand. That was our recommendation. The judge did set bail, and he posted bail. Okay. That has nothing to do with the bail reform statute. And anybody that's saying that is trying to mislead the people that they're saying that to.
And your office only has so much control over the judge, is what you're saying.
Yeah, well, obviously. I'll say it a different way. We have no control over the judges.
Sorry.
We can make recommendations on bail. We can make recommendations, and we do. But at the end of the day, that is a decision that judges get to make.
But in a case like that, shouldn't your office the decision that your office make have a lot more weight? I know that it's at the end of the day, it's the judge, but I don't know. Maybe I have to talk to a judge about ruling against that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think what you're basically saying is, shouldn't the judges give more consideration to our recommendation? Yes, of course I would agree with that.
Yeah, and then you talked about raise the age as well. The 17-year-old, that's where, and we heard this from the New York State Police. I mean, this is where there's a lot of frustration because, you know, a car gets stolen and the next day that kid's out on the street. Would that be something that you would go and voice your displeasure with when it comes to raise the age to the assembly?
Yes. I not only would, I have. I think, you know, there's some significant issues, problems with the raise the age legislation. It was passed. It was signed in 2017. It took effect, you know, over, you know, 2 years, 2018 and 2019. The biggest problem that I have with it is that it requires us to make what they call extraordinary circumstances motions in order for us to keep a case in youth part as opposed to family court on certain violent felony offenses. So if someone's 16 years old and they're in possession of they're unlawfully in possession of a loaded firearm, that's a criminal possession of a weapon in the second degree, a violent felony offense, regardless of how many times that person has been arrested in the past, we have to prove to a judge that this is an extraordinary circumstance. And it's a very, very difficult standard. It's a standard that the legislature itself said this should only be granted in one out of every 99 cases or one out of every 100 cases. So it's a standard that doesn't make a lot of sense to me on certain cases, and I think the law should be revisited. With respect to the issue you're talking about, stolen cars being, you know, repeat offenders, that is another thing that should be addressed in the raise the age statute. If it were changed, it would allow us to, in the way that I want it, I think those repeat offenders, we should be able to get access to their records, and then we would be able to make arguments that would satisfy a standard where those cases should not go to family court. They should stay in youth part.
District Attorney, Erie County District Attorney Mike Kane. Mike, really appreciate you coming on. My final question, like 15 years ago, I was on jury, and two people got kicked off the jury. We were down to our final alternate. How often does that happen?
Well, they would have, if they didn't pick the, if they didn't get down to the final alternate, Joe, they would have brought more jurors in the next day, I think, if I understand what you're asking. Both sides, the people and the defense in jury selection, have the right to challenge certain jurors from sitting. The court ultimately makes those decisions as to whether we can, you know, have a juror excused. But essentially, you know, we go through jury selection. Sometimes it's done in a day. Sometimes it takes 3 or 4 days. It really just depends on the nature of the case. And, sometimes the time of year can be difficult. You know, in the summer, it's more difficult to get jurors in here than it is, maybe in the winter months.
Yeah, seems that way. Hey, Mike, really appreciate the conversation. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, Joe. Pleasure talking to you. Thank you.
That is the Erie County District Attorney, Mike Kane.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.